You're listening to a podcast made by University College of Teacher Education, Vienna. Symposium, Transition Inclusion Research, June 9th, 2015. Please listen to Petra Susich, Reflective Practice with ePortfolios and Open Badges.
Hello, welcome back after the break. My name is Petra Susich and I work for the Center for Educational Technology and Innovation here at the University of Teacher Education Vienna. I would like to talk about today's topics of transition, inclusion and research from the point of view of modern technology in teaching and learning processes. First of all, I would like to introduce our center, the ZLI, Center for Educational Technology and Innovation. It was founded in September 2014 to meet the demands of innovative education. It's part of the Department for Interdisciplinary Education here, and we are a team of 7 people who try to evaluate the potential of digital media in teaching and learning and support the innovative integration of technology into education. Thus, we try to develop sustainable digital concepts and solutions for both schools and universities. In all our approaches, technology is not in the center of attention. It's didactics and teaching and learning processes. Our work and research projects include mobile learning and teaching, the Kids Project Classroom of the Future, I will refer to that later on, the electronic portfolio in the context of reflective practice, and all kinds of alternative forms of assessment. For a better understanding, I would like to give you a few examples. My first example is the use of ePortfolios in the context of reflective practice. Let me first give you a short definition. An ePortfolio is a digital collection of artifacts to make learning processes and outcomes visible to the learner, him or herself, and to others. There are 3 main objectives of portfolio work. First of all, ePortfolios help students to learn to evaluate the quality of the learning outcomes and to reflect on the learning processes. So the portfolio can be used for reflection processes. Secondly, students can present what they have learned and achieved, and they can use the portfolio as a vivid showcase for job application. Therefore, ePortfolios may be very important in processes of transition. They can be used for presentation. For example, when I applied here at the university, I added my showcase portfolio to my resume. The third important objective is development. ePortfolios can be used for planning the next steps, as well as for organizing learning resources and products, and to use it for professional career development. Portfolios have quite a long tradition at our university as paper-based portfolios. For example, our novice teachers have to keep some kind of journals or records where they reflect on their experiences. At the moment, we are trying to introduce all kinds of new settings for using the electronic portfolio in teacher education. This graph here shows the current situation. Out of 91 teachers involved in the teaching of novice teachers, 59% still use the paper-based version of the portfolio, 14% use a learning management system, in our case that's Moodle, and 27% have already changed to using the electronic portfolio. We think that digital media can support learners at each stage of portfolio work. For example, they provide tools for knowledge management to support the self-organized learner, for communication and collaboration, and also for giving valuable feedback from peers to peers and receive feedback from teachers. This does not mean that all work is done electronically. For example, students create a poster in the classroom on flipchart paper, then they take a picture with their smartphones and upload it to their portfolios. In this case, the portfolio represents a mixture between analogical and digital media. So what we are trying to do is to think of all kinds of projects to make students get in touch with the portfolio at a very early stage. Our strategy is that they use the ePortfolio in the courses here at university until the end of their studies, and then in a phase of transition will use it still when they start teaching in school. One of these projects is an Erasmus Plus project proposal about ePortfolios and social video learning to promote reflective practice called PREPARE, promoting reflective practice in the training of teachers by using ePortfolios. Our strategy is that they get in touch with the e-portfolio concept in these courses and keep their portfolio till the end of their studies, and then, in a phase of transition, will still use it when they start teaching in school. Another example of a project we're working on in connection with e-portfolios this time, the e-portfolios in schools, is the e-portfolio study 2014. This study was carried out in context of the so-called KIDS project, Klassenzimmer der Zukunft, in English, Classroom of the Future. This is an innovative educational project which was initiated by the Federal Ministry of Education and Women in Austria in the year 2013. It aims to make learning with ICT visible and part of regular school life. During the runtime of the project, teachers and students are motivated to test and try out various tools and projects, reflect on their own teaching practice as well as on changes they experience, and very importantly, to develop a culture of reflective practice at their schools to improve their teaching. In this context, an e-portfolio study was carried out by our center in 2014. This e-portfolio study was carried out in context of the Austrian KIDS project. At least you can look at the roll-up there. it's KIDS Wien, but it's actually a national project which covers 4 years. So it was started in 2013. It was initiated by the Federal Ministry of Education and Women in the year 2013. And actually, the main objective is to promote the use of ICD in the classroom, also promote reflective practice and networking. So find ways of schools to meet. Yeah, what is very special about this project is that it combines both school types. So we have two major school types for secondary education in Austria. One is called secondary school for pupils from 10 to 14, and the other one, some kind of grammar school, gymnasium, for students from 10 to 18. And usually they don't really cooperate a lot, but in this project they do. So they meet up, they plan mutual projects, they reflect on their teaching practice. So this makes this project very special. And in context of this KIDS project, we carried out this study I would like to tell you about, the KIDS ePortfolio Study 2014, where in the first step we tried to assess, okay, where, in which schools, at which universities are ePortfolios already used, and we collected that on Google Maps. And then we carried out three steps. The first step was collecting them. The second step was trying to find good practice examples. So really trying to talk to these schools, contact them via email or phoning them, asking them what projects they have already done. And the third step was to carry out virtual interviews with five teachers, where they answered questions on various subjects, like also assessment and how often they use the e-portfolio, how they introduce the subject to their students, and so on. So these findings were really interesting. And we analyzed the outcome and put everything on this page, e-portfolio study. It's in German, but there is an English summary. So if you're interested, you will get the slides anyway. You can have a look at this Mahara collection at home, and then you also get, because I already talked to some of you that were interested in e-portfolios in general, to look at the Mahara software. Okay, I will now give you a few concrete examples of what portfolio pages can look like. The first example is taken from a cooperation between a business school and a secondary school. So as I said, a very special thing is that schools cooperate, they work together. And this was in connection with the topic of careers, jobs and careers. So what they did is they collected their resumes, their CVs, they wrote letters of application, they exchanged them with the other school, they carried out job interviews, they had webinars, so lots of innovative things. The students were highly motivated to work on that. Yeah, one crucial point is always that it's presented to a larger audience, so not just a teacher and not even just a classmate, but to a different school. The parents were involved and so on. So this was a very successful project. And it even got institutionalized, which means they do that every year now because it was so successful. And also the cooperation between these two schools, they are in the same city, but until that project they had not been working together, and now they started. My second example is taken from a vocational school. It's a vocational school for floristics and gardening, where each student has to keep a journal. And yeah, so far they had been doing it, as I said, paper-based version, but now they also tried the new form, the electronic portfolio, because the interesting thing is that very often these portfolios are not just digital portfolios, but they are a combination of analogical and digital media. And very often these, like the students here, she had to do a course on binding wreaths, and she always took pictures of herself and then uploaded them in her portfolio. And very often also what our students do here, yeah, they reflect on their work, they draw posters in class, then they take a picture and upload it in their portfolio, and they will remember everything they had been reflecting on. My third, this is again binding wreaths. My third example is from a normal English lesson. The task for the students was to read a book and present it to the others. They had to read it in groups, and they had to do a number of tasks. For example, here, create a new book cover. So what they read is My Sister's Keeper, and they did this new book cover. They also drew a mind map, again took a picture and uploaded it in the portfolio. Then here they had to shoot a short, they had to choose their favorite scene and shoot it, so act as well. They had to record an interview with one of the characters. They had to find symbols for three characters and at the end give some reflect on their work with the portfolio. What you see here is how you can post your feedback. So they got feedback from two students and also from the teacher. And afterwards, when I talked to them, because this was actually one of my projects, they said they really liked this idea of getting feedback from their peers, which they usually don't get. Usually it's the teacher who tells them things, but really getting feedback from the peers was something they really liked. And this is really something that has to be developed, this skill. It's really not easy to give feedback as a student or as a pupil even, feedback that helps the other person to improve. Good, now I will tell you a few things about our analysis. So we had all these good practice examples, we collected them, we talked to the teachers, and then what we found out actually was very similar to what we found out in context of the whole kids project. I told you the project, it will take until 2017, but there are already some implications according to the directions the changes in development may go, and they are very similar to the e-portfolio analysis. For example, traditional structures and resources have to be redefined. That was what we found out in lots of these projects. For example, space. In lots of kids' projects and also the e-portfolio projects, it's not just the time they work on their tasks at school, but their working time extends to their free time, to their homes. They even filmed scenes at different places of the students at home. They even included their parents or other people. They also work a lot in groups. So there are group settings also in school. They went out to a corridor, to the library, to work there, to record things there. So this whole concept of space has to be redefined. The same thing holds true for time. So usually these projects, you can't do them in one lesson only, and also not just in a week, but usually these projects take weeks or months. And very often, teachers said they had best results when they did these portfolio projects several years. So 1 year they started, it was really hard for the students to get accustomed to the software, to get into this whole portfolio concept. The second year, it got a lot easier, and the third year, they were already asking for it. they were already asking, well, can we do this again? So, concept of time. And our kids' schools are very inventive when it comes to concept of times. They make up project days, explorer days, all kinds of names, come together days where they really work on the project. The next thing is subjects. So usually these projects don't just cover one subject. You saw the English, they can of course also cover one subject only, but usually they are like cross-curricular and even across schools. The other advantage is that if the project covers a whole day or week, then also the teachers have to cooperate, of course, they have to work together, and they can share the lessons they have to sacrifice for the project, so it's not only one teacher. And also traditional roles and responsibilities change, so the teachers do no longer stand and lecture to students sitting in rows, copying and reproducing what they hear, but they offer students the possibility to express their ideas, and to create something themselves. So the students become active creators of knowledge, and the teachers rather act as coaches, giving them support whenever they need it. Also, teaching and learning processes are really different. So they are, for example, focused a lot on process. So the whole process is important. And this links up with reflection. Yeah, it's very important also when something failed or when they failed to include that in their portfolio. So not just the product at the end, but the way to get there. Then they are communicative, interactive, motivational. So as I said before, students are really motivated to work on their projects, and they usually put a lot of time and effort in these kinds of things, much more than they would probably put into normal home exercise or something just for the teacher. As I said before, the e-portfolios are usually open to the peer group. Sometimes they are even linked from the school homepage, so they have even more motivation. Reflection, so we really try, and we think the e-portfolio is a very good tool to build up and to create a whole culture of reflection. This is something that cannot be done quickly or spontaneously. This takes time, and using the portfolio over several years really builds up a culture of reflection. So we have really good results with that at schools with the pupils, but also here at university when students are just, sometimes it just takes, it's enough if they have time. So now you have 1 hour to reflect on it, yeah, because usually this is something people they take the time for. Yeah, they do lots of things and then forget the reflection processes. They are also focused on skills, as I said. So apart from the assignments, students learn a lot about time management. They organize themselves. They have to meet deadlines, teamwork, work share. These projects are self-directed, so they really learn how to organize themselves. And finally, also, personalized, yes. So they include lots of creative assignments very often, so different learner types. So also students that are not really like A students can have really good results because they really try hard and put a lot of effort in it. Here I just want to give you an example of how one of our kids' schools, so it was a grammar school, Burger Straße in Vienna, they really changed their educational space. But this is one extreme. So they have a cooperation with RICO, and they created at their school a kind of, they call it future workspace, which is one learning lab that can be booked from all classes for a lesson or for a day, and where students work with this kind of equipment, as you see here, so this interactive table where students can sit together and work on something, or they also have a very big interactive table with a multi-touch possibilities to work together on puzzles or matching exercises. So this room offers various possibilities to work together, or they just sit together on these trapeze-shaped desks, so to form groups more easily. But this is one extreme. The other extreme is, for example, a school in Vorarlberg, They took a trip to Innsbruck and just have one tablet at the whole school, and they create a really amazing film with the whole class together. So they shared the tablet, they passed it on from one student to the other. At the end, a small group cut it, and they created the most amazing film and really had so much fun together and motivation to do that. And they just had one tablet the whole school. So this is really, that's this nice thing about the kids project, that there's a really variety in all kind of directions. So regarding space, time, equipment, and so on. Yeah, so where do we get our material for analysis from? So first of all, as I said, from our kids schools. So we have very close contact to the 11 kids schools in Vienna. So the whole project covers around 90 schools all over Austria. And here in Vienna, we have 11. And we support them through regular meetings, again, through giving them space to come together, to share, to reflect. Then we have now started to create a portfolio showcase for each school, so that they can then look at each other's portfolios. And this also, again, motivates the teachers to reflect, because there is a big part of reflection, of course, involved. And on the other hand, we also get a lot of material from our Praxisschulen. So these are kind of test schools, and I think that's, I don't know, but I think that's rather unique in Austria, that we have like schools here on the university campus. I don't know, do you have that as well? Yes? Okay, good. That's very good, because you can all the time go there, ask how they are doing. So for example, they have started a cooperation with Microsoft. The two entire classes plus the teachers were equipped with tablets. And of course now we are interested in all the steps they take and all the difficulties they face and how we can support them best. And so it's very good if it's in the same building. So the contact is very close, and the communication, of course, as well. Yeah, so one other big field of research is, as I said, alternative assessment. And the e-portfolio, of course, also offers lots of possibilities there to give verbal feedback, peer feedback, as I said before. And another alternative is open badges. Which of you uses open badges? Not really. Well, this is actually also something we have just started to think about. This is a way of getting recognition for things you have learned or achieved, which is not linked to a degree. Now, for example, this was an initiative started by the Mozilla Foundation. Here are just a few examples what open badges could look like, but of course they are not standardized. So this is of course one big drawback. But we have had good results so far with students, so in schools, as a means of motivation. So here just a short summary of what they can do. So of course, signal achievement, then show informal learning, which is also very often underestimated, and also show a more complete picture of the learner than just a degree. So they may be interested in phases of transition, for example, to show an employer additional skills someone has that are not linked to a degree, because a degree just, lots of people may have the same degree, but every individual has different skills, additional skills. But at the moment, we have just started to think about a way of combining the e-portfolio concept with this open badges concept, because we think there might be some potential in it as well, at least as far as alternative assessment is concerned. Yeah, and the last point actually I would like to talk about is international cooperation. So far I've been talking about the KIDS project, which is a national project. Also the e-portfolio study was just carried out in Austria, but our center also has international networks, international cooperation. For example, we are a member of the EuroPortfolio Network, which is an international network of e-portfolio experts and practitioners. We are also involved in the Mahara open source community, in the Ufolio project. So we have a number of networks there. And our latest proposals, I already talked about this prepare one. So the one which promotes reflective practice in teacher training with the social video learning. This is an Erasmus Plus proposal. And one other Horizon 2020 proposal might be interesting to you because it includes inclusion. So this is a new way of eco-learning which would be tested in large-scale pilots, where our part, our work package, would circle around inclusion. So far, lots of research has been conducted in giving better access to information to people with special needs, but there has been little research on the effectiveness of assistive learning environments, on game-based learning, on things like this, on people with special needs. So that would be our part if the proposal is accepted. Good, I hope I could give you a short insight of what we at our center do in all these three topics of transition, inclusion, and research. I hope I could show that there's a whole variety and lots of spaces and that technology is not the center, but how to promote reflective practice, how to promote learning and teaching processes. Thanks a lot for your attention. If you have questions, you are of course very welcome to ask them now or to contact me here. Thank you very much.